I just read a book and I am exhausted. It's not the history of the Peloponnesian Wars or a tract on carbon sequestration. It's a memoir from Stevie Van Zandt. There's the E Street Band, which he formed with childhood friend Bruce Springsteen. Steve was the underboss, top advisor to the boss. It's a role he reprised in the hit TV show The Sopranos, playing consigliere Silvio Dante, one of the few people who could tell Tony Soprano what he didn't want to hear.
I've known you since you were a kid, Tom. Frankly, you've got a problem with authority.
This attitude of yours, it's a lot of what's made you an effective leader. But we all got flaws, even you. Seven deadly sins, and yours is pride.
In between, Stevie was the political activist in the 1980s who brought together over 50 stars, Miles Davis, Bob Dylan, Bonnie Raitt, to bring worldwide attention to South Africa's apartheid with this takedown of a resort, Sun City. And then there were the solo albums, his Netflix show, Lilyhammer, current radio shows, including Little Steven's Underground Garage, his uncredited hand in other people's records, ideas that didn't get produced, which is maybe why his book is titled Unrequited Infatuations. Stevie Van Zandt joins us now by Skype. Welcome back.
Good to be with you, Robin.
Are you exhausted?
I'm exhausted from the intro.
But how about from the life? First, Bruce, you say your first meeting was inauspicious because there is nothing auspicious about being 15.
We were one of a dozen bands that got out of the garage. Our success came extremely slowly. I'm sure we had the longest gestation period in the history of show business. I mean, we were playing for 15 years before we really had a hit. Born to Run made some noise, and already that was 10 years into our playing locally. But we didn't really have a hit till Hungry Heart, which was the fifth album, The River, 1980. You know, so that's 15 years. At that point, you're worried that you're going to make it through the door in time. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart.
Put out your money and you play your part. It was in the late 70s that John Landau, the great music writer, made that pronouncement that he'd seen the future of rock and roll. He had seen, you know, Bruce Springsteen and became the manager. And I had the opportunity to do the first broadcast interview with Bruce Springsteen at a concert in Rhode Island. And I don't know who was more inarticulate. I mean, he was not the philosopher king that we know now.
Oh, no, he was a very, very shy kid, very shy. And the transformation, you know, to the world's greatest entertainer has been quite a miraculous thing to witness. He was about to make his first major transformation into the Born to Run persona, you know, which was far more outgoing and cinematic. That's part of what the art form of rock, it actually demands it. It demands that you become someone else.
Well, you became Little Stevie and Bruce's advisor along with manager John Landau. I mean, here you are. You're somebody who really knows how rock and roll works. You know the history inside out. You know what knobs to turn to get a sound. You are his pal on stage and you leave the band.
I started to feel like, maybe I should be part of the official management team. You know, I give as good advice as anybody, and he disagreed with that. And we had our first real fight. And I, without really thinking about too much of the consequences, I left. It would hit me a little bit later, just what I had done. You know, I had basically ended my life.
Well, you did go back to the E Street Band years later, but you say if you hadn't left then, you wouldn't have heard this song, which started a whole new chapter, Peter Gabriel's Biko.
Because
Stephen Biko was the South African anti-apartheid activist who was beaten to death by state security guards in 1977. Now, here I'm going to just be a little simplistic, but apartheid was the system imposed by the white minority to hold people of color down through strict segregation and brutality. The UN had instituted boycotts against cultural exchanges. Suddenly, we're reading about you in South Africa, in Soweto, dangerous neighborhoods, trying to bring together all sides in South Africa.
Yeah, it was an unexpected turn in my so-called career, that's for sure. You know, how do I justify my existence? You know, I mean, the world does not need love songs from a former sideman. So I decided I'd be the political guy. I made two trips down there in 84 and decided it's too important to just be another song on my next album. I'm going to take it off the album and I'm going to try and get a few people to join me and make a bigger deal out of this, because it was a big deal, you know, when you're down there witnessing it. But it wasn't that big a deal in America. It just wasn't that big an issue here, you know. So
no,
I wanted to make it one.
And you decide to have this song about the resort in South Africa. Artists were told, oh, you're not really in South Africa when you're performing here. You're not violating the boycott. But they were. It was just a scam. And so you write the song Sun City and get together people to perform.
First, we thought we'd maybe get one artist from each genre, you know, and maybe have, you know, 5, 6, 7 people on the record. And it just kept growing. The success of that record really was due to Danny Schechter's enthusiasm and his ability to get attention. You know, he was just brilliant.
You're talking about the late Danny Schechter, the news dissector from WBCN Radio in Boston. He started the show South Africa Now. Let's listen to a little more of your Sun City. Where we probably should say, do not sit Stevie Van Zandt next to either Frank Zappa or Paul Simon at your next dinner party. Frank Zappa, you know, you felt he didn't want to contribute to the project as he should have. Paul Simon, you thought was hypocritical. He broke the cultural boycott to go to South Africa to record parts of Graceland. What's that about? Is that New Jersey? You know, you didn't have to put that in the book.
Oh, I left out a whole lot of jerks. I mean, if you're offended by those two, you should see who I left out. No, I mean, you know, Frank Zappa, I was a huge fan of Frank Zappa, you know, and he was a complete obnoxious jerk on the phone. And that was sad for me. Paul Simon, he had a different philosophy about it. And you know, and I totally respect him and his work. But on this one subject, we just did not agree. I was being instructed by Nelson Mandela and his party, the African National Congress. We just lit the fuse, you know.
Staying with that kind of, you know, no holds barred, Nelson Mandela is finally released from prison and he's coming to the U.S. and there's going to be a big event that you've helped coordinate. You get the money raised that's all going to go to his cause. And there's a group of people that have come to this huge dinner and you get a call from Nelson Mandela's person traveling with him, who says, you know, he's really tired. He can't come. You kind of threaten, hey, these people are here. I'm going to give them back their money if you don't come. This is Nelson Mandela. I'm thinking.
It wasn't Mandela making that call. I'm not a liberal. OK, I know people think I might be, you know, I'm definitely more revolutionary. I don't take, you know, I don't take from anybody. I don't care who they are. And I'm like, hey, I advertised dinner with Mandela. You know, you don't want Mandela to come down here? Good. I'll give everybody their money back, baby. You know, don't.
But you know what? He came. This brings us to The Sopranos. You were so, in real life, perfect for the role that you played.
Yeah, that was destiny calls and jump in and learn on the job. That's been most of my life. I had nothing better to do. Let me go see if I'm an actor.
You killed Adriana. And I mean, it was just one of the most difficult things to watch. You do this hit on this beautiful young woman in The Sopranos in this gorgeous forest. You write, that was one of the toughest things you've ever done.
Yeah, you know, because it was so abhorrent to me, you know, so far removed, because I hate bullies with a passion, and I hate people who, you know, beat up women. It was everything I hate in the world, and I had to do it for like 2 hours, you know. It was not a lot of fun.
Well, it was an extraordinary scene. Stevie Van Zandt, there's almost too much. The book is Unrequited Infatuations. Stevie, thank you so much.
Great talking to you, Robin. Bye-bye. Bye.